Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Saving with Steve, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, everything under the sun that relates to having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I want to thank you for joining us today. We just eclipsed over 750,000 listeners, so we're very happy. We want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family and associates. But today, we're talking about money. Not only are we talking about money, we're talking about a career, a new job, layoffs are starting to pick up. Many people make New Year's resolutions to advance their career by finding a new job that they actually enjoy. That's why we have founder and co-CEO of Hiring Manager, Amy Find Reeves, where she spent 25 years leveraging experience as an executive hiring manager to help professionals at all levels of their career find and keep jobs that make them happy. So with that, Amy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm excited to be here and congratulations on your very high listener numbers. That's great.
Thank you. I'm still so surprised because I have a face for radio, so that's a good thing. But you know what? One of the big things about Amy, she's a sought-after speaker, expert, career coach. She works globally with clients across a variety of industries. Her expertise is gained from nearly two decades of working with companies and organizations to reduce costs, increase revenue, improve process significantly across all business operations. Well, here's another thing that's really interesting. She's been featured in countless business media, including Wall Street Journal, Business Insider, Yahoo, UpJourney, Hive, The Baltimore Sun, and I can go on and on. She's also a keynote speaker at the Women's Leadership Conference. One special lady. And we're very lucky to have her and her experience. We want to start talking about all of our viewers really, really, really wanted to know when it comes to searching for a job during recession, what skills they need to land a job during the challenging times that they're expecting ahead.
Well, that's a pretty broad one. I do like to deal in specifics, not generalities. So it's hard to make a broad and sweeping generalization about that. One of the things I founded my business on is the idea that there are always good jobs for good people. And I don't like to tell people, gosh, macro statistics are bad, so you should feel bad and be very worried. I am absolutely not a proponent of taking that approach to the situation. I do believe that there is a job for everyone and for everyone's skill set. When people come to me, I like to tell them, like there's an app, you know, whatever you want to do online, there's an app for that. There's a job for that, whatever it is that you want to do. And there are skills that you might do in your personal life that have great applicability in professional life that you don't know about because no one ever talks about what they do. There are so many more jobs out there than people realize. And one of my favorite things about what I'm doing now is talking to people about what they really like to do and how that can be translated into the marketplace. And I'm not talking, Steve, about finding your passion. Again, I don't like to talk about generalities. I like to talk about specifics. So one of the things I like to do when I talk to people when we first meet is to talk about what at the end of the day gives you satisfaction in your job. Is it something like talking to people? Because you can build a whole job around developing client relationships. That's a hugely saleable and transferable skill, no matter what industry it's in. If you wake up and what's on your calendar for the day that makes you say, this is going to be a really fun day, I love doing this, is working with spreadsheets. Don't laugh. There's a lot of people who love doing it. I happen to be one of them. if it's, you know, running a meeting, standing in front of a group of people trying to, you know, figure something out with them, it's pick their brains and get something out as a group. If it is walking around to a bunch of different sites and looking at the various pros and cons of them, you know, there's always something that somebody likes doing most during their day. And if there are things that they don't like during their day, you can make a list of both of those and come up with a job that has the things you like doing the most. So that's my first thing, is that if you would like a new job, if you would like a career pivot, there are things that you can start with to think about what it is that you want to do. Now, that is my next point, which is that if you are recently had a layoff, or if you are thinking, oh my God, I cannot come into this job one more day. I cannot work for this manager one more day. I've been there. I totally get that. And if you have been recently laid off, my biggest piece of advice is do not run from something. You want to be running toward something. There's a huge difference between solving an immediate problem by getting the hell out and, you know, fixing that short-term problem and running towards something that you really want to do, that you're really going to enjoy doing. And it's really worth taking the time. And if you have the job that you can't stand, take the time to think about what it is that you do want. Make a list of everything from, you know, I want to be home to do lacrosse games 3 nights a week. I don't want to fight traffic. I want to work within a mile from home. I want to work with a really great coffee bar nearby. Even if it seems silly, write everything down. I don't want to spend a lot of time in meetings, all everything possible. And look for that. Get as many things as you can. But don't say, I just don't want that job anymore. I'll take the same job somewhere else. Because as a hiring manager, I can tell you, we know. We can tell the difference. We know when someone is running away from something, and we know when someone is running towards something because they want it. And we want the people who are going to want to work for us because they want to do a good job. They want this job. We always hire the person, and as here I am with the generalization, we tend to hire the person who wants the job the most, because they're going to be the person who is going to do the best job at it. Going back to someone who has been laid off, I recommend the same thing. Our immediate tendency, and I've been there too, is to say, oh my God, I've been laid off. I have X amount of weeks before I have no salary. The first thing I'm going to do is call everybody in my network, tell them I'm looking, apply to everything I can possibly apply to online in a complete frenzy. About 3 weeks later, you probably haven't had much luck, or you've had a couple of starts. You're exhausted, you're depressed, and you're completely worn out. That's the point when you should start looking. For anybody out there who has been laid off, or God forbid, maybe laid off at the end of the holiday season or during it, my best advice I can give you is take time off. Absorb it, get used to it, get over it. You do not want to go into a job search emotional. You don't want to go into a job search with the idea that you have any of the emotional scarring, anything left on you where you feel like you were given a raw deal, that you feel like you were going to badmouth the old company. You never want to say in an interview that you've had a bad experience, only a learning experience. So what you want to do is just get over any emotional that you have left for that company, for that layoff, anything related to that experience, and start fresh. And both your network, your interviewees, your recruiters, they're all going to know that. So take the time to do it yourself and just relax as best you can, get past it, and then start. You asked me a couple of questions and I gave you a lot of answers. I hope I did.
I'm just sitting here going, this is exactly what everybody wants to hear. Because the reality is, from my perspective, I've been on that line once where I wasn't part of the clique, and that's the reason why I was odd man out. Yeah. And there's a couple of people like that. And I went right in, oh my God, I got to take care of my family, and bam, 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 bam. And you're right. In 3 weeks, I was totally wiped out. And if it wasn't for my wife going, you know what, let's just go on a vacation. I've arranged a vacation for us. I mean, she saw it. And when I came back, it took a matter of days before somebody said, "Hey, you know what? You'd be a perfect fit. So let's go." It was like, wow. So I can totally understand that night and day, because all the little triggers from the old position, they're still there.
Exactly.
And somebody says something a certain way, and if you're a hiring manager, you're well versed in this, because you don't want those old triggers with a new hire. So they figure that out. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. I mean, it's been a long time since I experienced that, because I run my own business now.
Yeah.
And when you said be happy, that's what made me happy. So at the end of the day, it's been a massive change. So I'm just like, yeah, this is perfect. With that, we do need to take a break though.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you know what? Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Amy Fine Reeves with some great insights if you're looking for a new position, or you have a new resolution, or just got fired or laid off. So stick with us. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. If you're looking at getting some replays, they're available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information like we're having today with Amy, insights on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And so you never miss a show, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. They're all dedicated to empowering you to solve problems and lift your spirit and live a life of personal and financial freedom. If you'd like some guest gifts or just seeing the behind the stuff that's on Facebook and so on, you can go to Saving with Steve Sexton and go to the Insiders Clubs, and you can get all the behind the scenes stuff where we all mess up and have fun. And with that, I want to bring back Amy. We have a lot more to talk about. Amy, thank you for being on the show. That first part, I really didn't ask a lot of questions because you're already answering most of them, because that means you've been there before. The next question is this: how should job seekers structure their job search to maximize chances of scheduling an interview? Like you said in the last segment, you're sending out resumes to LinkedIn and everybody, it's a shotgun approach. How is the best way to do that? Because I always feel like when I list a hire, I get 300 to 400 different resumes and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get the same person twice because they've got two recruiters.
Okay, well, first, let me start with your tools you're going to need. You're going to need a resume. The key thing to remember is that the average recruiter, interviewer, hiring manager looks at your resume for an average of 7.4 seconds, according to the latest study by LinkedIn. So you want to tell your story fast. I usually, whether it's somebody who's a C-suite level or somebody who's a new grad, put a sort of a summary sentence at the top that tells your story. So highly analytical, quantitatively analytic new grad with internship experience in database analytics, seeking entry-level role in database marketing, or, you know, highly experienced chief operating officer managing multiple million-dollar lines of business, seeking a new challenge in manufacturing. So that's the kind of thing that somebody says right up top, okay, I know what they're about, what they're looking for. And I like to put skills up top, or write about your accomplishments, not what you did. So don't say that these were what you were accountable for, but say what you accomplished. So don't say that you did this project. Say what the impact of the project was. Not that you worked on a project defining what the new flavor of Coca-Cola would be, but that you helped increase Coca-Cola's revenue share by 0.02% by introducing this new flavor in Latin America that you worked on from market research to launch. Then you want to have a cover letter that doesn't show how great you are, but talks about how great you will be for the role. And that's where a lot of people fall short. You also want to develop a cover letter anytime you have a chance to write one, write one. Don't write an essay. Have a template available in three parts. First part, use keywords from the job search about why you want the job. The second part is why you'll be good at it, just a summary of your resume. And the third part is why you want to work for the company. Just a short little blurb, take something that they're proud of on the website. Think your social responsibility programs are fantastic. I'd be proud to work for you. 85% templated, have it ready on the go. Third tool that's important is an elevator pitch. Your elevator pitch has three parts. This is what I'm looking for. This is why I'll be good at it. Can you help me? And you need to have that, you know, you can say it at Starbucks. You can say it in your doctor's office. You can say it at barbecue. I literally have clients who have gotten jobs in each of those situations using a good elevator pitch for all three. The only trick is in what you're looking for. You can't specifically say, I want to work for HP in product development as an engineer, specifically in major healthcare lines. Because people will be like, well, I don't know anybody in that. You also can't say, well, I want to work in developing major healthcare products. I'm a computer engineer, because they're kind of like, oh, you have to be somewhere in the middle. So people can kind of get a catch and say, oh, I think I know somebody who does that. Then in structuring a job search, I recommend doing it in three parts. First part is what I call reactive job searching. And it's the least effective, but it's the easiest. And that's responding to anything you see on LinkedIn, on Indeed, on a general Google search that will bring up specific job sites in your city. And those are the ones that I recommend. Those are the most recent jobs. The second is what I call proactive, which is reaching out to your network. Have a coffee, have a beer, you know, reach out to anybody that you know. And your ex-coworkers are probably the best. But also, you know, go to LinkedIn, see who might be in your industry that went to your college or went to your high school that you might be worth reaching out to. Your parents' friends, your friends' parents, anybody's good. Third one I call professional development, which is, let's say you're working in telecom and you want to join any LinkedIn group that's associated with telecom product development. So there's groups for that on LinkedIn. You want to follow thought leaders in the area. You want to join those groups. You want to read those webinars. You want to see what professional associations there are. And those would feed into potentially networking. Networking potentially leads into finding jobs. It all kind of dribbles up into getting you actually into an interview. And what I recommend is every week, you're not going to have a job on Friday, but if you set a goal for each of those three tiers, I'm going to respond to 2 to 3 jobs on LinkedIn that I find. I'm going to reach out for 2 or 3 coffees every week to somebody in my network or send an email to someone in my network. And I'm going to spend a half an hour a day or 2 hours a week doing professional development work, just researching, seeing what's happening, getting any ahas that I could bring up in an interview about what's happening in the industry or what's impacting it. Then Friday comes, you've accomplished your goals and you feel like, okay, I did everything I possibly could this week, and you can relax for a weekend. And when people ask you what you've been doing on your job search, you have something to tell them. So it's a way to keep your spirits up. It's a way to find time to work and time to relax. And it's generally a good way you're hitting all of the bars that you want to hit.
Everybody's worried about interviewing skills because we don't do it that often.
Yeah.
And then when we do it in a blizzard, so to speak, boom, 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 boom. And then we're done. Hopefully we get a job. But when somebody's going into an interview, what is the best way to be prepared for that?
When you go into an interview, you only need to do 3 things. You need to prove that you understand what the job is. And that one's really important. The next one is that you can do the job, and most people prepare for that, but not necessarily specifically. And the last one is that you want the job. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that 90% of the time, you know, I would bring in 6 people for first interview, 4 people for a second interview, 2 people for a third interview, and I'd bring my team in at the end and say, okay, what'd you guys think? And they'd all go, they're kind of the same, but this one wants it more. So be enthusiastic in the interview, especially women tend to hold back. And then you get this incredible thank you note. I want this job so much for this great reason, but the decision's already been made. Be as enthusiastic as possible. Also, what I recommend people do, you always know the first question is going to be some version of, tell me about yourself, walk me through your resume, why do you want this job, something like that. I recommend taking control of the interview right up front and saying, let me just tell you before I do any of that, or it might just flow into the conversation. Here's why I really want this job. Here's why I know I'll be good at it. Here's why I want to work for this company. So some version of your strongest elements, right up front, very quick. Never start an interview with, well, in high school I did this, or, you know, you start now and work backwards. Be fast. Most times, the lower an interviewer is, like if it's somebody who is just screening your resume, they'll have a list of questions you have to answer. So they'll be like, tell me about a time when, you know, it's a very scripted. The more senior a person is, that someone will hand them your resume on the way in the door and they'll be like, so you went to this college, and then they won't listen to you while they're looking at your resume. But if you start out right up front with, look, here's why I want this job, they'll kind of throw your resume away and just talk to you. And that's what you want. That's what you want, to really have somebody engaging with you. The other thing I like to tell people is take your strongest examples right up front and craft a story around them. So I worked on this great project in college, and it made me realize that I really wanted to do corporate finance because I saw the impact that capital structure could make on this company, the various ways that they could do it. And I just really loved working with accounting, and I just thought, this is what I spend my life doing. And here's what my part was in the role, and here's what our conclusion was. And I just really, really love doing that. And I know you work long hours in this role, but I would love to be able to do that. So that's the kind of thing you can tell that story as an answer to. Tell me about a time you did a group project and what role you played in it. Why do you want this particular industry? Tell me about a very quantitative project that you did. Tell me about a time when you did a project that you really loved it. You know, if you have three of those stories and you get them in advance, you're already really prepared for 90% of the questions they can throw at you. And you can prepare them in advance and use your strongest examples.
That's wonderful. Because while you're saying that, I'm just thinking to myself, you know what, back in the day when I did those interviews, I got asked those questions, and I was thinking about the one position that I got after I relaxed, is I was the one who actually took control, and I knew that I would do well, and I didn't like say it up front, but I just, everything went, came back to, I think I'd be really good because of this, this, and this, and here's my example for this. And I was like, okay, now I can see why that worked and why the other ones didn't. Amy, we're almost finished with our time here today. Could you share with people who are here who would like to go to your website, work with you, have you consult with them, all that kind of stuff? How can they do that?
So my website is called Hire a Hiring Manager. H-I-R-E-A, hiring manager. I have a book out called College to Career Explained, where I have all this specifically geared to college students who are, you know, making that first big transition. I have another book coming out that's a little bit more general called Get Noticed, Get Focused, Get Hired Now. That will be out in March. And I have a series of videos, some products. I have a product on how to get a really good reference. I have a product coming out on internships. And I do one-to-one work, and I'm developing a series of webinars as well. So if people have specific webinars they're interested in, please go to my website, email me, tell me specifically what you're interested in. Those would be the most cost-effective way until I get my products up and online, other than working one-to-one. But I'm looking for specific topics to develop my webinars on.
Amy, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been very enlightening. You know what? It's just right along the line of all the questions that people are asking once I post your information up on our viewers blog. So thank you for joining us. Everybody, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. That was Amy Fine-Reeve with Career Potential, the expert's insight and strategies for getting a new career, getting hired in a recession. Let's talk about some tax planning, because one of the strategies we want to talk about that's completely overlooked, I just want to say this, folks, we're at that time of year where we're getting ready for our family time, holiday time. spending time with the ones we love. Of course, those things are all going on with getting ready for that big day. And there's also something else in the back of your mind, because the T word starts to pop up, and that's taxes. I say this every single year. When it comes to tax planning, so many of us do what we call rear view mirror planning. We always see what happens in the past. One of the things I'm always encouraging everybody to do is tax planning needs to be looked into the future. Now, this segment is all about tax harvesting. This is an interesting context, because with tax harvesting, what we're doing here is we're selling securities at a loss to offset a capital gain. The strategy is typically employed to limit the recognition of short-term capital gains and the movement there, because they're generally taxed at a higher rate. So remember, short-term capital gains is anything that happens within a 12-month period of time, because it's taxed at ordinary income rates. So when we do tax harvesting, you're selling a security at a loss to offset a short-term capital gain. Again, this is something we really want to talk about with a tax planner, of course, you know, advisor or anything like that. Make sure it's understood really well. There's some big benefits here. It's to generate tax savings in places that are often overlooked, because many times we wait until the very end, and some of these things are not being proactive, and sometimes it gets lost in the tax planning. But here's the big thing, folks. Just worked with somebody 2 weeks ago, and we looked at where their tax bracket was, and basically they're in a 22% tax bracket. They were $3,000 over the 12% tax bracket. And you know what we did? We used tax harvesting, that reduction of that $3,000, and we got into the 12% tax bracket. All their dividends and capital gains became tax-free according to the IRS tax code, which means their taxes went from almost $6,000 down to a little over $150. That's a wonderful situation to be in. You want to take a look what's possible. So I encourage you to talk with your advisor, talk with your tax professional. If they don't know how to do tax planning, find somebody that does. Because there's three big drains when it comes to your retirement: fees, volatility, and taxes. If you can reduce the taxes, that's more money going in your pocket. And the other thing you need to think about is the Tax Cuts and Job Act's sunset on January of 2026. So you have 2 years to figure it out. So get it figured out earlier. The other thing is this: if we're 2024, start working on it now. Because if you could save yourself $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year, and you're still saving for retirement, that's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year you could save for retirement. That's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year you could take a trip with. So make sure it works for you.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.